The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Mishpatim. Mishpatim is a Parsha which deals mainly with what is known as Mishpat Bedinim. That is the laws which relate between man and his fellow man. Disputes, litigations, loans, sales, and so forth. Now, we can make an observation here that Parshas Mishpatim is preceded by the giving of the Torah. Last week's Parsha we heard the Matan Torah, when Klal Yisrael came to Har Sinai, and on the sixth day of Sivan, and they heard the Ten Commandments and the Torah. And that was preceded again by Mishpatim. The beginning of Parshas Yisro, we have when Yisro came to Moshe, and Moshe was judging the nation, and there he advised the people, he advised Moshe on how to appoint judges, which became the basis of the entire court system of Klal Yisrael, and ultimately the court system of the world also. So the Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, was both preceded by Mishpatim and followed by Mishpatim. Is there a significance in this? The Medrash brings in Parshas Mishpatim, Parshas Lamed, Os Gimel, Be'ela Mishpatim, these are the laws Asher Tosim Lifnehem, which you shall place before the people. That's our week's Parsha. And then it states, Maksiv Lamalamina Parsha, what was written before. The beginning of Yisro, we have, like I said, the Minui Hadayonim, the appointment of the judges. And we have the Parsha quotes, the Medrash quotes the Posuk and Perek Yud Ches Posuk Chof Beis Vishoftu Es Om Bechol Eis, that you shall judge the people at all times. And Vahadib Reis Bemsa, and in the middle we have the Asa Dibras, Asa Dibras, the Ten Commandments. Why is that? So the Medrash says, Moshel lematruna shoyis ma'aleches. An example of this can be given to a matruna. A matranusha is a woman of great nobility and royalty. And when she rides down the road in her chariot, hazayin mikan v'hazayin mikan, there are sentries before, guards, and there are sentries afterwards, following her. V'hi b'amtsa, and she's in the middle. Kach ha-Torah. So is it with Torah. Dinim milfoneha v'dinim achareha. There are the dinim which precedes the Torah. That's the mishpatim that we had by Yisro. V'dinim achareha. And there are the dinim, the mishpatim, which follow the Torah. That's what we have in our Parsha, Eila Mishpatim. V'hi be'emsa, and the Torah itself is in the middle. V'chein o'aymer, and so is it written in Mishlei. In Mishlei, Perches, Posachof, Shlema Melech, King Solomon writes, Be'erech stoka aleich, that I will walk in the way of tzedaka. Tzedaka is that of charity and generosity. Atayre meres be'ezen si v'ani mahaleches The Torah says, in which path will I walk? I will walk in the path of those that are generous and charitable. But it will be a path which is escorted by two other paths. The paths, the roads of Mishpot. HaTorah be'emtza, v'dinim elfoneho, v'dinim achareho. The Torah in the middle, with the dinim, the mishpotim, preceding her and after her. And that's what it states in Mishlei, be'erech tztoka aleich, b'seich nesivis mishpot. That in the path of generosity and charity I will walk, which is between the two paths of mishpot, of the laws, of the civil laws between man and his fellow men. What is the explanation of this? The Maral has an elaborate explanation and it's very deep. He writes about this in Sefer Tferes Yisrael, Perek Mem Vav. He says as follows. Firstly, he says the Mishpot, dealing, there are two attributes in this. Mishpat gives parameters and boundaries to people and to the world. Because the Mishpat is the laws, the judgments. And Hakol b'midah b'mishpul, everything is in its proper quantity. And the essence of the Mishpat is the Yesher, perfect uprightness, perfect justice. And this prevents one from entering into the area of another one. And this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world also. We spoke about this last week. In the entire Maaseh Bereishis, the 7 days of creation, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is mentioned over and over and over again. And each time is written the name Elohim. Bereishis Bar Elohim, Es HaShomayim Ves HaOretz, Beruach Elohim, Bayim Elohim, Bayar Elohim, Bayikra Elohim. And why? Because that's the name that he uses when he gives judgment. And he created the entire world with Din. He wanted to carry through the entire creation with Din, but he had to bring in other elements also. But this is how he wanted to create the world. And the world runs according to this, because the whole physical world has its bounds and parameters. He told the sun when you will rule, and then he told the moon when you will rule. He told the sea that you can come up to this boundary and no more, and what belongs to the earth. This gives order to the entire world, and the same thing, and even more so with the people who live on the world. So this is the first attribute that Mishpat has. But then there's another attribute. In Devarim, Sefer Devarim, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, states, Lo sakiru ponim b'mishpat, you shall not recognize any individual when it comes to a court of law. Ka kotein ka godl tishmo'un. Each one must be equal in the eyes of the law, whether he is small, whether he is great. Le soguru mibnei ish. You shall not fear no man when it comes to the eyes of the law, when it comes to rendering a judgment. Ki ha-mishpat le'elokim hu. Because mishpat belongs to Hashem. What does it mean, mishpat le'elokim hu? The mishpat belongs to Hashem. And why is that reasons? Why is that the reason why we must not recognize anyone, favor anyone, when it comes to the court of law. The reason for this, as the Maral says, is because when it comes to other hanhogos, other midas, when it comes to other attributes that we practice, one has some flexibility. For example, chesed, you want to do goodness to your fellow man, you have some flexibility. You can do a little less, you can do a little more, and it's still chesed. Stoker, you want to give charity, it's better to give more, but you can give a little less, and it's still stoker. But when it comes to the mishpat is the essence of the yosher. The yosher is what is perfectly just. In other words, perfect and pure justice. There's no flexibility there. There's no margin. Because if you lean to the right, or if you lean to the left, this is already kilkul hamishpat. This is no longer pure, unadulterated justice. The justice is not perfect, and this is not the yesher anymore, because the yesher is what is exactly in the middle. And therefore, the other attributes we can master in this world. To master mishpat and dinim in this world, that's impossible to master it. Hamishpat lelakim, that belongs to Hashem. Only He can master that. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that when two litigants come before you, one is a great person, one is not so great, even if one is righteous and one is not righteous, one is wealthy, one is poor. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us that we must give forth a verdict which is as just as possible, then you shall recognize no man when it comes to mishpat, and you shall fear no man when it comes to mishpat. Ki ha-mishpat lelakim hu, because the essence of the mishpat is so high that perfect justice belongs only to me, where he recognizes no man. This is why we mentioned in last week's Sedra that Mesha had this great problem. The question is asked that Yisro came and he saw Mesha, he himself was judging the people. And he told Mesha, Novel Tibel, this is something you will burn yourself out, something you can't do yourself. Appoint other judges that will help you. And they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yisro is right. The question is asked, why couldn't Moshe think of that? Moshe certainly was wise enough to think of that. The problem he had is because he knew the level of the Mishpat. And he knew that HaMishpat Lelakim. He wrote it in the Sefer Torah. That Parsha was actually written after the giving of the Torah, when he was judging the people. And Moshe himself was called Ish HaLakim. Moshe was the one who came closest to understanding the perfect mishpat, the perfect justice, to the point where he was called Ish HaLakim. Therefore, Moshe felt when it came to judging people, who's right and who's wrong, and the laws relating between man and his fellow man, he had no right to delegate any deputies. And this Yisro tells him, theoretically you're right, but that cannot exist and be sustained in this world. And therefore, you have to appoint deputies, but, and there the Torah lays down all kind of requirements on Sheikhayel, Seinei Betza, what type of people they have to be. And this is why we mentioned last week that the Gemara brings that kol dayan shedon din emes la'amitoi hare nase shutef im HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'maase breishis. And a judge will sit and he will go into the depths of the Mishpat. And he will use all of his abilities to render a judgment which is as close to perfection as one can get. He becomes a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Almighty, in the creation of the world. Because it was this, with this quality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set down all of the areas and the parameters for the world. Now, this is what is meant by the parable that's given in the Medrash, that why do we find the Torah surrounded on both sides with Mishpat? And this is like the Matronusa, a noble and royal woman, when she drives down with her chariot. There are sentries and guards in front and sentries in the back. Firstly, this is for the purpose of guarding her. Royalty would always go. They would go with their escorts. They would go with their bodyguards, with their secret service. It's always for the purpose of Shmira. But it was more than that. A king goes with guards, even if there's no danger to him. This is what is known as the honor guard, because this gives honor to the royalty. And the same thing with the Matronusa. When she drives down the road, she has her sentries in front and sentries in back, because this exclaims the importance of this woman. This exclaims that this woman is not like anyone else, but she's nobility, she's royal. Wherever she goes, she's surrounded by her guards. And so is it with the Torah. If the Torah is preceded by the Mishpat and is followed by all of the laws of the Mishpat, and we know that these laws are the ultimate in perfection and they belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're beyond this world. So this gives a dimension, a new dimension, a great honor to the Torah itself, which exclaims the level of the Torah. That's in regards to the Zayin Mikan and Zayin Mikam, her soldiers in front of her and her soldiers behind her. But now we have to understand that the Torah itself is even at a higher level. Just like the Matronusa, this queen, she herself is at a higher level than the sentries which guard her. And the reason for this is because the ultimate purpose of the Mishpat is to remove sheker, deceit, from the world. The Mishpat is your perfection of justice. It removes deceit and corruption and lies from the world. This is the ultimate of it. But after that is done, we still do not have what is referred to as the Etzem HaTov, the essence of goodness. We'll have a world without sheker, without lies and without deceit, without fraud, and without corruption, and without crime. But we still will not have a world of perfect goodness. And this is the level of the Torah. And this is why it states, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the people the Torah, he said, Ki lekach tov nasati lochem. He says, what I'm giving you is good. Take it. And that is that the ultimate of the Torah itself teaches one and brings one to the level of being able to bond himself with goodness itself. The mitzvahs asays, the positive commandments, bring a person to goodness. The negative commandments distances the person from the evil which will destroy that goodness. And this level, which we call the Etzem HaTov, this is referred to as the Derech HaTzdokah HaChesed, the road of generosity and goodness. Now, this is not like people think, that whatever we decide is good, is good. Or whatever society decides is good, is good. Or whatever a government will decide is good, is good. And what is bad is bad. Not so. This is referring to the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, of his level. And therefore, that's why we need it to be preceded by his mishpat and to be followed by his mishpat. Goodness also can be misconstrued. Goodness also can be distorted. The Gemara says, Rachamim is good, compassion is good. But one can be from the most cruelest of people if he's compassionate to those who are wicked, to those who are cruel. We have people who are motivated by what they feel is the greatest goodness in the world, and they destroy goals. Lenin was motivated by what he felt would be goodness, the greatest goodness in the world. And we don't have to go into detail. But ultimately, this has caused deaths, not to many people, but to 50 million people, to 100 million people. You have abortions. You have criminals running loose. So goodness is not what Bosvodom with humanity decrees as goodness. Here we're speaking of the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that only is an outgrowth and a level even higher than his mishpat, which is the pure justice. Now we can understand the example that the Medrash gives. Be'erech tzdoka aleich b'teich nesivas mishpat. Shlema Melech says. The Torah says that I walk in the road of generosity, in the road of goodness. But it's escorted on both sides by the paths of pure justice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's justice. And this is an example of a queen when she rides in her chariot. She's escorted from all sides by her guards. And the guards represent the royalty. And the queen represents even something higher than that. And that's the ultimate of goodness, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness. And that's the Torah. In an incidental manner, it would be appropriate to mention here that many times the question is asked, why in the yeshivas
And this was the tradition in the great Litvish yeshivas. A great amount of time was spent studying the Gemaras, the Talmud, which deals with Mishpatim, Dine Momonos, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, Chesed Mishpat, and so forth. And many times the question would be raised, this is good for someone who wants to be a dayan, he wants to be a judge, he's going to have cases brought before him. But we should spend, others should spend most of their time studying other parts of the Talmud that perhaps would be more practical. We'll study about Shabbos, we'll study about Yom Tov. Or perhaps we should spend more time studying other areas. Agodos, Musar, Dvorim HaMeshkin HaSalev, which connects with the person more emotionally. Dine Momonos, you have to break your head on difficulties in Baba Kama, it's more mental than emotional. But the answer is that one is obligated to study Kol HaTorah Kula. That's his obligation, to learn the entire Torah. But from here we see the great importance. Because when one labors in the Mishpat, in the Dine Momonos, one is laboring in the deepest areas of the Torah. The Gemara itself says, "Aretz Yachkin Yasek B'Dine Momonos." You want to become wise, then study that which has to do with the dinim, the monetary laws. And when he labors in this, he's not laboring in a law book. He's laboring in the yashrus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He attaches himself to the ultimate justice of the world. And only through that will he come to Torah. Like the example of the Medrash. What preceded when Moshe was instructed to write down the Torah, he was instructed first to write about Mishpatim, later to write about Mishpatim, and in the middle will be written about the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, the Torah itself. If a person would want to know the actual level of the Torah itself, well, we said this represents the ultimate in goodness, not only the ultimate in justice, but the ultimate in goodness, built on that justice. The moral there, where we refer to, continues. And on this he brings another medrash. This is in Shmais Rabbah, Perek Lamed Gimel, Os Aleph. This is at the beginning of next week's Parsha. Parsha's Truma. The Medrash says as follows. States v'yichul li truma. In next week's parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands the people, and this was immediately after the giving of the Torah, except Moshe had to stay on the mountain for 40 days, and then came the golden calf, and he had to go back for another 40 days, and then a third 40 days. Finally he came down, he broke the tablets, finally he came down with the second tablets, it was on Yom Kippur. The following day, the day after Yom Kippur, Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded the people, the Yikuli Truma, to start to collect contributions for the building of the Mishkan of the sanctuary. and we also li migdosh v'shachanti b'seichom, and build for me a migdosh, a sanctuary, that I may dwell amongst you. So the Medrash says as follows, ki lekachtev nasati lachem torosi al ta'azovu. This is in Mishle Dalet, Pasuk Beis. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I have given you this Torah that I have just given you. It's good. And therefore, my Torah do not forsake. It is the ultimate of goodness. Es ha-mekach shenosati lachem, yesh lecho odom shelekeach mekach, yesh be-zohov, ein be-kesev. Yesh be-kesev, ein be-zohov. Generally, when someone buys something, even if it's good, it could be have silver in it and not gold. It could have gold in it and not silver. Amekach shenasati lachem. But this that I have given to you, yesh bekesef shenemar imreis Hashem amoros teiris kesef tzoruf, has silver in it, yesh bezohov, and it has gold in it also. Shnemar, as it states, anechem odim bizov umipozorov. Yesh odom lekeach sodes avalei kromim, kromim velei sodes. Sometimes a person buys a piece of land, so that land is a field for wheat. It's a grain field. But it's not a good place for vineyards. Another time he'll buy a piece of land, it'll be a good place for vineyards, but not a good place for wheat. They both can't grow in the same place. But Amekech Hazeh, this that I am giving you, has both fields and vineyards. As it states, Shalachayich, this is it quotes from Shir HaShirim, Shalachayich Pardes Rimainim Im Primogodim. Sometimes a person will make a very, very big deal. You buy something, and people are interested to know what is the value of what he bought. How much did he pay for it? Mishar ha-sirsu nizvade malokach. If they can find out from the broker what his commission was, then they can have an idea of how much was the value of the transaction. Kacha Torah. Ein onam yodea mahi. So is it with Torah. When the people received the Torah, they didn't know what the value was. But mischa shelokach Moshe, but if they will look at Moshe Rabbeinu's commission, he was the broker between Hashem and the people, then they will be able to tell the value. What was his commission? Shenemar Moshe liyoda ki koran or pono bedabro ito. When Moshe came down from the mountain, he did not know that from his head came out two beams of light from speaking with him. Yesh lecho mekach shemi shemechore nimkar imay. And finally, do you ever have a sale where the merchant the seller is selling, that he goes along in the deal also? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, machati lechem teirosi kaviyochel nimkati imo. I have sold you my Torah, and it's as if I have sold you myself also with the Torah. As it states, Vayikuli Truma, right after the giving of the Torah, he told the people to go and to take contributions to make a Mishkan, to make a sanctuary that I may dwell with you. What does this mean? Moshe Lemelech Shoyer Abashuchito. A parable of a king who had one only daughter. One day, a young prince came along and asked for her hand in marriage. and it was granted. They had the celebration, the chasana, the sheva brochas, everything. Finally, Natola, Bikesh Leilach Leila Arce, Ul Italishte. He told now his new father-in-law, he says, it's time that I return to my home. I must leave and take my wife with me. Omalai, so the king said to him, Biti Shonasati Lacho Yechidisi. The daughter which I have given to you is my only daughter. Lifresh mimene ni yochel. I cannot let her be separated from me. Leimelach al title ni yochel. But on the other hand, I cannot send you home without her, because you married her, she's your wife. Elazut heva aselish. But therefore I ask of you to do me a favor. Do me this goodness. Shekol mokum sha'ato holech. Take her, and wherever you go, kiten echor aseli sheodu etzlechem. Make for me also a little house that I can come and stay with you. She'eni yochala niyeches biti, because I cannot be separated from my only daughter. Kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael, nusati lechem es haTorah. I have already given you the Torah. Lifrei she'meneni yochel. She's like my only daughter. To separate myself from her, I cannot. Leimelochem al titlo eni yochel. On the other hand, to tell you, give it back, I cannot, because I already gave it to you. And therefore I ask this of you. Bechol mokum shatem holchim. Wherever you go, ba'is echod asuli, build for me a little house. She'odu b'seichai, that I may live with you. And that's why it states, v'osuli migdosh v'shochamdi b'seichom, that you shall make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst you. And that's what is meant, that did you ever see when someone sells something, so the seller goes along in the deal. Here it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu went along also with the Torah. Now, what does all of this mean? So the Maral says as follows. There is nothing that can encompass everything, especially things which are totally contradictory to each other. You can have certain things that can hold something that's cold but not hot, hot and not cold, and so forth. First, the Medrash said that sometimes you'll make a deal and it'll have silver but not gold. Gold and not silver. The Torah is like silver, and the Torah is like gold. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, and King David said. He says, what is the greatness of silver? The greatness of silver is its purity and clarity. And that's why it's always known as Kesef Tzoruf. It is refined to the ultimate in clarity and purity. Where there is no imperfection in it, there is no psalus in it. This is the greatness and the beauty of silver. So is the Torah. The Torah is refined where its goodness is totally pure. Many times people will do something good, but it's lacking a bit. Or has a little something in it that shouldn't be in it. There's no righteous man in the world that will not do something good, but it'll be lacking a bit. The Torah is like silver, where it's refined to the ultimate of purity, of zakus, of clarity. It is for this reason that silver really has no color. Someone would ask you, what is the color of silver? It's actually colorless. This is a sign of its purity. Because color is an additive. See? Something, if for example we want to, you want to make something look maybe a little more attractive, right, you'll add something to it. Now we come to gold. What is the attribute of gold? It states on gold, Hanechmodi Mizov. Gold, gold's attribute, it's Nechmad Le'enayim. It is luscious and beautiful to look at. Its color and its beauty. Gold is not known for its clarity and purity. Rather, it's known for the beautiful vessels and ornaments that can be made from it. So is Torah. Torah, Shlomo HaMelech said, Hanechmodi Mizov, David HaMelech said, Hanechmodi Mizov, it is more beautiful and envious to the eyes than gold itself. He compared the Torah to gold. And that's when one studies the Torah and he hears the depths of the Torah and the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intelligence in the Torah, it brings great gratification to the person. Now, really, these two attributes contradict each other. Because the beauty of gold is from the fact that it was given color to make it beautiful. While the paramount feature of the silver is because it was refined and refined to the point where it's colorless and it represents purity at its best. For example, many times if we want to describe something pure with a color, so we will choose the color white. Yet white itself has no beauty in it. Or for example, if we will want to go to a brook that has pure waters in it, we will say, look how pure these waters are. You can see right through them, where they will be colorless. On the other hand, if you want to ornament something, you will add something to it. You will add colors to it. So these are contradictory qualities. Yet the Torah encompasses all of these qualities, even though they are contradictory. Then we come to the second case of the Medrash. It says sometimes a person buys a piece of land and it has wheat fields, grain fields, but it cannot have vineyards. Sometimes he buys a piece of land, it's full of vineyards, but it can't have grain fields. The Torah is compared to, in Shir HaShirim, to the greatest fields of grain and to the greatest fields of the vineyards. And actually, this brings out something significant. When a person buys a field of grain, he is buying it for the grain, for the tefuah. And that is something which is nira le'inayim. You see. You come and you buy, you see what you buy. You got 1,000 acres of wheat, you're buying 1,000 acres of wheat. And that's the level of nigla. When a person buys vineyards, he doesn't see what he's buying. Aye, but if you got hundreds of acres of vineyards, you see you're getting hundreds of acres of vineyards. You don't buy the vineyards for the grapes. You buy the vineyards for the wine. And the wine is concealed in the grape. It's really concealed in the grape. It's not like juice that's in an orange. You cannot squeeze the grape and make the best wines. But the wine has to go through a process where the alcohol develops in it and its innermost elements come out after aging, where it becomes good wine. So when you buy grains, you're buying what you see. That's the nigla. When you buy vineyards, you're buying it for the wine which will be produced from those vineyards. You're buying what you don't see. That's the keach hanistor, but you know that it encompasses that. Now these are contradictory. You can't have something that's nigla and nistor at the same time. It's either apparent or it's concealed. The Torah has both sodeis and krobim. It has both fields and vineyards. It has its nigla, it has its nistor. You can learn Torah at the simplest level, and it's Torah. You can learn it at a deeper level, and it's still Torah. You can learn it at a level where it's almost totally concealed to the human being, like the wine in the grape, and will come out only through great labor and great aging. And then it will come out. And this is in the same Torah. And further, through the practice of the Torah, the mitzvahs of the Torah, one will merit this world, the Olam Hazeh. And through the mitzvahs of the Torah, one will merit the next world. And these two worlds are totally opposite. Because this world is like the field of grain. It's what we see. The next world is like the wine of the vineyard. It's totally concealed. And generally, you cannot make one transaction for both of them. But the Torah encompasses both. Then, we went to the next parable. When someone buys something, the people want to know what he paid for it, how big of a deal was it, how much is it worth. They'll try to get the information from the broker. What was your commission? You want to know what the Torah is worth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go to the broker, go to Moshe. What was his commission? It states on Moshe that Moshe leyada ki koran or ponel v'dabre itay. Moshe didn't know that there were beams of light coming out of his head, from his face, from speaking with him. And the Maral asks a question. He says, why do we find this by Moshe and not by the other Naveem, by the other prophets? The other prophets also spoke to Hashem. He says, the answer is, Moshe did not get this from Hashem. Actually, if Moshe would have got it from Hashem, so what's the... this is not the commission. He says, Moshe got this from the Torah. Moshe was mischaber and misachid. He became united with Torah more than any other human being ever did. And because of that, he absorbed Torah itself. And Torah itself is light. It states, ki ha-Torah or, hu ner mitzvah. Ner mitzvah v'Torah or, Shlema Melech said. That the Torah is light. And therefore he himself became light. Umoshe l'yoda, and he didn't know when he came down from Har Sinai, ki koran orpona v'dabri itay. That lights came out from him, from speaking in the Torah to Hashem. And from here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you want to know the value of Torah, see what Moshe took from it, from this deal. It's the essence of light. And if a person wants light in a dark world, let him unite himself with Torah. The Torah represents, the light represents the Chochmah Elyona, the greatest wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave to this world. And wisdom is light. As it states, Ksil Becheshech Helech, the fool walks in darkness. Hachochem Ein Vachochem Ein Vereshoi. Shlomo HaMelech said this in Kehelis. Ksil Becheshech Helech, the fool walks in darkness, but the wise, they are led by the light of their eyes. This is the light of their intellect, their intelligence, which they receive from the intellect of the Torah. And this lights up their way in this world. So if one wants to know this Torah that we received, what is it worth? Look at the one who brought us the Torah. He became full of light. This is what the Torah is worth. And then finally, the Medrash says the fourth example. That when someone sells you something, he sells you the article, but not himself. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu sold us the Torah, and he went along with the Torah. And it says this was an example of a king who had an only daughter. Now, the Maral writes this is very deep. He says this is not just a simple story, a simple parable. Why does this have to say the king had an only daughter? If he would have many daughters, what's the difference? He says there's a difference. He says when you have many daughters, then you have to share your love with all of them. And anything that you have to share with many means that they're getting only a degree of it. It's not in totality. If a person has one daughter, then the love that the father gives to one daughter, it's the only child he has, and the unity between the father and the daughter becomes total, not shared by anyone else. What is the chazal the sages bringing out here? Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's only daughter. He does not unite himself with Torah and with other things also, to the point where it becomes diluted. Moshul Lemelech Shohoyele Bas Yechido. This is his only daughter. And therefore the Achdus, the unity of Torah to Hashem, is total. This is what is brought in the Medrash Zohar. Kuchibrich of the Uraisa Chadhu. Kodesh Baruch Hu and Torah is one, totally united. That's the significance of the only daughter. Then he gives this to Israel. This was explained by the example where the king gives his daughter to a prince in marriage. When he gives his daughter to a prince in marriage, he's uniting his daughter totally with the prince. This is what marriage is. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Israel, he's uniting Israel with his Torah, his only daughter. Now, even though Torah was for the entire world, it preceded the entire creation. But the Ummahs, the nations of the world, rejected it. It was only Israel that came and said, Nasa v'nishma, we will take it. Therefore, it becomes united only with Israel, just as the king's only daughter becomes united only with his prince. This is what is written in the Medrash Zohar, that Israel the Uraisa Chatur, Israel and Torah is one. Now we have a problem. How can this be? You told me a minute ago that the daughter was united totally with the father. Now you tell me that the daughter marries the prince and she's not united totally with the prince. Who's she united to? This is the dilemma. And therefore the king comes along and says, what should I do? He says, to let you take her from me, that I can't. She's my only daughter. To take her back from you, that I can't. I gave her to you. So he says, since she's united with you and she's inseparable from me, you'll have to take me with you also. Wherever you go, build a house for me also. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. He says, Torah and I, we are one. Now I gave you the Torah, Torah and you are one. Now how can that be? If Torah and I are one, how can Torah and you be one? So therefore there's only one thing we can do. That when you receive the Torah, you receive me also, Kaviyoch. And therefore, wherever you go, build a house for me also, that I shall also be with you. This is what the Medrashayer means when it says, Kuchibrihu v'uraisa v'Yisrael chatu. Hashem, the Torah, and Yisrael are one. Why? Because Hashem is one with the Torah, and Yisrael is one with the Torah. Therefore, it has to be that Hashem and the Torah and Yisrael are one. Therefore, he said, build for me the Yikli Truma, take contributions from everyone, and build for me a Migdosh, a sanctuary, Vishachanti B'Seichom, that just like she will live with you, I also will live with you. What do we learn from here? Which he calls one of the great foundations of Torah, is when we receive Torah, we receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. This means that how do we come to Hashem? We want to be close to Hashem. We want to unite ourselves with Hashem. How do we come to Him? It's impossible for a person who's from the physical world to unite himself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is non-physical. So then how do we do it? We do it through the Torah. That since He is one with Torah, and by us making ourselves one with Torah, this is the way we unite ourselves to Hashem, just like the prince. How does he become one with the king? Through his being united with his daughter. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, therefore, Ki lekach tov nosati loch, torosi al tazovu. Ki lekach tov nosati lochem, torosi al tazovu. I am giving you what is good. Do not forsake it. This is why first we're written Mishpatim, then we're written Mishpatim, and in the middle of Torah, it's the example of a queen when she rides down in her chariot. She's preceded by the sentries, and she's followed by the sentries. And therefore the Torah says, where do I walk? Be'erech tztoka alech. B'seich nesivais mishpat. I walk in the road of generosity and of goodness, escorted on both sides through the path of judgment and justice. This gives us insights into the mishpat and into the level of Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za. or contact us via email at audio@yGJ.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.